highlights this lesson is Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I'll be reading the King James Version. Give you a moment to get it. I know all of us aren't using smartphones to get there as fast as others, so if those are for those that are flipping through pages, to give you some time. And it reads, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." May the Lord have a blessing on the hearers and doers of his word.
Happy today. First Samuel chapter 17, verse number 2 says, "Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle lines to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and his iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him." You can be seated. You know, we often coin cliches and phrases, and sometimes we don't really know exactly what they mean, but we say them because they sound pretty good. We say things like, "What's on your mind?" "Get your mind right." And we always think things in terms of cliches sometimes, never really having a direct relationship to what they mean, and especially what they mean in our lives. But I want to tell you that your mindset is everything. It's everything. The doctrine that Paul preached was a startling and far-reaching doctrine because of its consequences. It was so incredible of a doctrine, it couldn't be measured by the standards of time, because both the Jews and the Gentiles rejected the message that he was speaking. Goes on to say it was a stumbling block to those and foolishness to others. And the gospel that Paul preached, to get our minds right, dealt with matters that no one could know otherwise than through direct revelation. It was admitted that redemption had to do with the things of God that no one could know but the Spirit of God and he to whom the Spirit would reveal them to. You see, Paul didn't preach a theory merely to be judged by its merits. Paul preached a theory that was the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might mind the things of God. So in the fullness of time, God sent his Son to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, had the mind of the Father. And he came to do the Father's will, and in so doing, he became the author of salvation to all who obey him, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 5. The mind of Christ, then, in my mind, is the will of the Father. The mind of the Christ dictates to us the will of the Father in everything. And Paul made high claims when he wrote in Colossians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that we have the mind of Christ. And my question tonight to you is, do we really have the mind of Christ? You see, he didn't write or preach as a natural man. He dealt authoritatively with matters that no eye could see, and no ear could hear, and no heart could even imagine. The things of God that were directed by Paul, none could know except the Spirit of God, were made by him to know those things. Otherwise, the only way the world could know is through the writings of God's word, through those inspired men. That's the only way we can know. That's the only way we can have the mind of Christ today, is to know the inspired words that are written before us, that holy writ. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 6, "For to be carnally minded is death." What's on your mind? "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." As a Christian, we ought to be spiritually minded, which means that our mindset is what it ought to be. It ought to be set on the mind of Christ, through the freedom that Christ gives us. Paul again states concerning our mindset, Philippians chapter 2, as is read in your hearing. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." Again, I ask the question, what's on your mind? Is the mind that is in you is the same mind that is in Christ Jesus? Because Christ had the proper mindset. And over in Colossians 3:2, we are told to set our affections on things above and not on things on this earth. In order for me to set my affection on those things, I must have the proper mindset. And it simply means that I'm keeping God, I'm keeping people and the things of this world in their proper perspective, in their proper place in my mind. Sometimes our minds are just boggled with things we just can't even imagine, because the world around us is just too busy, and it offsets what we need to do for God. We get sidetracked, and our mind wanders to something else other than focusing on the true and the living God. In order to have your affection set on things above, not on things on this earth, we've got to have the proper mindset, and it means keeping your mind on God. How many times do you think about God? How many times do you think about God? How many times do you focus your mind on God? How many times do you meditate on God? How many times a day do you pray to God? This is important, and why is this so important? Because in the Bible, the words heart and mind are often used interchangeably and involves a person's intellect, their volition, and their emotions. It's much more than just our physical muscle, this heart that pumps blood in our bodies. Jesus stressed the importance of having our hearts, our minds, our intellects, our emotions in the proper place, because he said, "For where your treasure is, what's on your mind? That's where your heart will be also." I mean, it's a good and wonderful example, because when you look at the check that you write in church, where is your mind and your heart? Is that another sermon? "Let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus." Jesus said, "Let your heart be where your treasure is," because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. That's what your mind is on. We need to get our minds right. So according to Jesus, where my mindset is where my value is, which will in turn affect the way that I live in this world. It's the same thing that he said when he said to set our affections on things above. Listen, in essence, all Paul is saying to us today, as he said to the church in Colossae, and to all who read this letter today, that our mindset must be in the right place. Let's find out if our minds are in the right place. Let's answer a few questions here. Why is it that folks dress up when they go to parties or funerals or weddings and give it a little regard to how they look when they come into church? It's a mindset thing. They have unknowingly placed parties and funerals and weddings on a higher level in their minds than they have given to the Almighty God. They appear before the dead looking better than they appear before the Almighty God, who's present in worship service as they come. It's a mindset. Why is it that children today are taught to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am to their elders, and speak of God in terms of the man upstairs, or him, or the one up above. It's a mindset, you see. They place their respect and their honor in the wrong place, in the men of this world, and not on God. Their minds have to be on a higher level than they have given to the Almighty God. They've got to just be there. The man upstairs, that could be anybody. It's sure not God. Because last I read, I've never seen any Bible where God was upstairs. Maybe I'm wrong. Somebody might need to help me. Maybe my mind is not right. But I know in this building who's upstairs right now, it ain't God, amen? Here's another question for you. And I'm not beating anybody. I just want you to get your mind right, amen? Why is it that folks can't make it to service but one time a week? Yet they can go to them ball games and they can sit and watch a doubleheader or sit there for overtime. They can't even miss one single meeting at school. And they work sometimes overtime. Even when they're sick, they go to work. It's a mindset, you see. They've given things of this world a higher position or importance than they have given to the Almighty God. Man, people sit and they complain if a sermon runs over 45 minutes. Oh, but you let somebody get up there in the theater and dictate one of these rap poems. It is just so fantastic to hear that, isn't it? Oh, I want to hear another one of those rap poems because it makes me free. It sets me free. It gets my mind right. Oh, well, it's a mindset thing. Here's another one for you. It's just some things for you to think about. Why is it that folks respect the laws of this land and accept the responsibility to obey them, yet they try with all their might to disprove the laws of God? People show very little authority to God's law today. They don't regard it at all. It's a mindset. Man has brought down to his own level in their minds the Almighty God. They have no longer any respect for him, and they don't honor him as God wants us to honor him. They don't give God the important position that he deserves, because the laws of the land supersede the law of God. And I'm going to make my own laws of the land, and I'm going to make sure they supersede the laws of God, because I'm going to allow men to marry men and women to marry women when God's law says that it is an abomination. Where's our minds at? Get our minds right. What's on your mind today? Do you worship God in spirit and truth? What is your mindset? Paul says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Is it in you? Because our mindset is going to determine how we sing, how we give. Our mindset is going to determine how we dress, how we speak, how we live day to day. And more importantly, our mindset is going to determine where God stands in relationship to our lives. What's on your mind? In a song back way back when called What's On Your Mind. I know some of y'all might remember that. What's on your mind? I can't sing it, I got a cold. I'll knock it down for you, but you know what? I'd much rather sing praises to God and have the mind of Christ Jesus. Amen? What's on your mind? Until I place God first and foremost in my mind as a supreme being and the Lord of my life, then I've lost all regard and all respect for the truth of who God is in my life and for what he wills for me to do in my life. My relationship with others will not be what it ought to be because my relationship with God is not what it ought to be. My mind is not going to be right. And all Paul says is, get your mind right. Because this old body that we have, this tabernacle made of clay, is not going to be sitting around in eternity. Oh, but your mind, if you don't get it right down here, is going to be wrong for an eternity. And that's a long, long time. As a matter of fact, it supersedes time, because time and eternity are two different things. Two different things. My mindset has to be right. It's got to be right in order to serve God. Can it be said that you're spiritually minded? Or can it be said that you are carnally minded? How has your thinking become like the thinking of Christ? How has your mind become like the mind of Christ? Are your affections set on the things above? And if it is, notice how you dress. Notice your speech. Notice your attitudes towards your fellow man, because that attitude towards your fellow man is the same attitude that you have towards God. Is your mind right? Everything that you do will reflect that. That's the reason we look in the mirror. We don't look in the mirror to see what's there. We look in the mirror to improve what's there. We want it to be right. If we didn't look in the mirror to improve, then we'd just go out the way we are without even considering it. It's the same thing. We look into God's word. We look into God's word to improve what's there. It gives us a reflection so that we might improve upon who we are, because God's word, it breaks down everything. It shows every last one of our imperfections. And he offers us a chance to fix it. Sometimes we look in the mirror, we just can't get our minds right. We can't get that makeup right. Or we can't get that hair right. We can't get that beard right. We just can't get it right. And we lose our mind sometimes trying to look the part. Paul says if your mind is right, the outside is not what God is interested in. Amen. God doesn't look on the outward appearance of man. Our God looks upon. Is he looking upon yours? God looks upon the heart. And I'm so glad that God sees me, and that I'm able to make up my mind to follow Christ. Have you made up your mind? What is your mindset today? You got to get it right. If it's not right, you got to put it right. And when you put it right, you got to keep it right. Keep it right. Because a mindset, your mindset determines everything about you. You have unsound words. Those unsound words point to an unsound mind. But the mind of Christ has been put into a pattern of words in the Holy Writ, that we might look into it and become just as God has called us to become, a person that has the mind of Jesus Christ. Looking to do the things that are right and righteous in our lives, not looking to things for ourselves, but looking to those things that help somebody else. Looking to those things that will explore the love that God has given to each and every one of us, that the world might see God in us and glorify him as a result of that. It all comes from that one simple thing. Make up your mind. Make up your mind what you're going to do. There's not a man in here that's patient with somebody that can't make up their minds. Who puts up with that, for Pete's sake? We don't want to put up with that. We tell them in a heartbeat, you better make up your mind, because I'm not going to. Not waiting around for you to make up your mind. And when you make up your mind, call me, or I'll be here. I'm glad God didn't like that. God gives us an opportunity to get our minds right, to make up our minds. Because we have a choice. Either we can follow God, or we can follow our own minds, our own hearts, the carnal mind of man. We've got a choice we've got to make. And the mind of man, it has to be fashioned in such a way, has to be changed in such a way to fit this pattern before we can truthfully be called the mind of Christ. That's why Paul says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable act of service. And he wants your minds to be transformed. Isn't that incredible? Let's transform your mind so you can know the goodness of God and the will of God, the perfect will of the Father. Let me tell you, I have always admired Christians all over this world, and all those that I've come in contact with, that are willing to sacrifice their time, their energy, everything that they are because God has called them to sacrifice those things. Because God has sacrificed everything he had. Matter of fact, he took his own medicine. He came and he died, and we crucified God on that cross. And he sacrificed all that he had. He sacrificed heaven to come to earth that we might live. Do you have the mind of sacrifice? Do you have the mindset of Christ? And does it come from the sound pattern of doctrine that the apostles wrote that we might follow? What's on your mind? Did you get your mind right? Can you really make up your mind? What a travesty it is when somebody says that they're not mentally stable. But to have a spiritual mind that's not spiritually stable is a shame. Because God has given us all things that we need for life and godliness, and our spiritual man might be complete in Christ Jesus. Our minds don't have to wander. We don't have to guess. We can know that heaven is going to be our home. He said, these things are written that you might know you're going to have eternal life, John 20 and 30. These things are written, and they're written so that you can get your mind right and ready for when Jesus comes to take us home. You can know that. You don't have to flip-flop back and forth trying to decide whether you're going to heaven or not. You can know that, and you can know that tonight. And this is why the gospel is preached. It's preached for obedience of faith, not obedience in your own faith. Not because. Let me just tell you the difference. Obedience of faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. So it's obedience to that faith, not obedience to your own faith. Some people have their own faith in a whole lot of things, and they obey that faith. But we're talking about obeying the faith that comes from God, obedience of faith, because our mind is set on the things of God on a higher level. This world is not our homes, so we need not act like it. There's a great need for this world to get into the abundance of the gospel that is contained in the New Testament. There's nothing new about it. There's no scheme or no novelty. There's nothing to take place. Only when we read God's word will we only know the mind of Christ, which is the standard by which all claims must be judged. Not by my mind or your mind, but by the mind of Christ. Paul told Timothy, he says, hold the pattern of sound words which you've heard from me. Pattern of sound words, that's the mind of Christ. We've got to hold to that pattern. We can't flip-flop. We can't change our minds. Our minds has to be set on things above and on Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior. I just want to tell you tonight that your mindset determines everything. It's a far-reaching doctrine that Paul preached, and there's consequences to it. And why not make up your mind tonight to follow Jesus Christ? He calls us to hear his word in John 6:45, to believe that Jesus is the Christ, John 8:24. To repent of our sins, Luke 13:3-5, and to confess Christ, Romans 10:9-10. To be baptized in water for the remission of our sins, Acts 22:16, Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and following, Romans chapter 6. He calls us to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins and have our whole minds, our whole lives changed to walk after the pattern of the Christ and be found in his kingdom, the kingdom of his dear Son. If we can help you to change your mind tonight, why don't you come as we stand and sing the invitation song.